So when the war was over, what'd you do?
After the war was over, I, of course, came back to the United States. And the war wasn't, well, the war wasn't over when I came back on the Queen Mary. And like a lot of people, I didn't try to go on and finish my education, and I kind of tried to live about 9 times faster than I should have, making up for lost time. I can look back and see the mistakes I made now that I should have done differently then, but we never know. And I was going into Montgomery one night, and I ran into some friends of mine, and they said, come go with us if we're going on a winter roast out on a creek about 10 miles out of Montgomery. And I said, well, I don't even have a date now. And when they called and see if I can round me up a date, and one of the girls said, wait a minute, there's a girl up at New Gentry's where I stay that's there, and I don't think she has a date tonight. And the minute I saw that young lady walk down the stairs, my heart did a flip, and that's how I met her.
That's how you met her?
That's how I met my wife today. We started dating, and at that time she had finished at the University of Alabama, and she had a job with what is now known as Gaffer's. Back then it was Montgomery Fair at downtown Montgomery, and she had a job there as what the name of her job, but she worked there for Gaffer's. And we dated for a good while, and this girl that I saw coming down the stairs, my heart just did a flip. And we dated each other for quite a while, and finally she took a job up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I couldn't stand that. So we met in St. Louis a month later, and we talked about it, and I asked her to marry me. And thank goodness that young lady said yes. She went back to Milwaukee and told him. And I talked to her on the phone, and I said, meet me in Birmingham, and I'll give you the ring. So we met at the airport in Birmingham, and I gave her the ring, and we got married on September the 17th, 1949. We lived together in Montgomery, Alabama. Had 7 children.
Wow.
5 girls and 2 boys, and I wouldn't take $1 million for any one of them. And after I stayed in Montgomery a while, I was in the insurance business. I didn't like that, so I went to the Corps of Engineers, Silver, and worked with the Corps of Engineers until 1978, and I retired from the Corps of Engineers, and we had bought a place up on Lake Martin for our summer home. And being retired, I just couldn't sit around Montgomery and do nothing but play golf. So we decided to move to Lake Martin, and I've enjoyed every minute that I've been up here.
Okay, getting back around World War II, was there anybody, anything that you overlooked, or was there anybody that died that you remember, anything significant about?
Yes, there was an incident that happened that I forgot to fill in a while ago. Hitler's, one of his main objects was to get rid of all the Jews in the world. And I had some boys in my outfit out there that were Jewish. And I had one boy that came to me one day, and he told me that he didn't want to go back over there. Being a Jew, he didn't want to go back over there. And I thought, man, well, he would be one of the first ones who would want to go, since he was killing all of his people, his heritage. And I talked to him a while, and I thought he was going to be all right. And about an hour later, somebody came in, and I heard a shot, and somebody came in, and the boy had killed himself. And he had told me that he was not going back over there to fight. And it would have been my joy to go over there and fight for a person that would kill people like Adolf Hitler did.
That's a shame to kill himself because he was Jewish.
Yeah.
Were there any other memories about Fort Hood that you have?
Let's see, it was... Well, it was a little funny incident one day. There was a plane that came in on an emergency landing, we thought. And I had people out on the rifle range doing rifle practice. And I was up on the stand giving firing orders. And here comes a plane from my left diving down right over the area where we were shooting for targets. And I don't know who it was until this day. I don't know who it was. But I had to holler cease fire because he came right down through the line of fire from the rifles. Which I think was a few idiots in this world, and that was one of them. And then, I can't think of it. Oh, I had a bunch of people out on the rifle range firing like that, and then we gave the order to cease fire. And at that time, the people were supposed to clear their guns of all ammunition. We got back from the firing range, back to the barracks, and I circled my company around in a group, and we were talking about what had happened. And to be sure, I said, clear guns again. And when I cleared gun, there was a rifle, one of the machine guns went off and fired. And thank the good Lord, it went, missed everybody in there and went through five, we counted five walls that bullet went through.
Wow.
But didn't touch anybody.
I got lucky.
Mm. This reminds me of the time that I was had men out at Fort Hood, Texas, and we were on the firing range, and the plane went down across the firing range out there, and it reminded me of what happened before I even, after I got married. We lived with my mother and father out near Gunner Field, which is just outside of the city of Montgomery. And back before World War II, they had a lot of English personnel over here teaching them how to fly. And one of the runways came right over where they would take off from the field, would put them right over my father's property. And occasionally, a plane would take off up there off the runway, and this is my assumption, but I imagine that they wouldn't give it enough power, and it would stall out, and they would fall in my father's field out there, and some of those planes would go 4 or 5 feet into the ground, head down. And then one time, one of them came off, and my father had a cornfield out there, and one of them, I heard the plane misfire, and he started down slowly and went into the top of the corn and cut it off as if a mower had gone through there and went about 300 yards like that and then did a complete flip over on its back. I forgot to tell you about that.
Was that a big explosion? Or?
Yeah, when it went over on its back, it killed that pilot too. Overall, I believe there was 1, 2, 3, I believe there was 4 planes that fell in that 60-acre area right there. There was something else I forgot to tell you, that when we lived at that collective, a little small town 35 miles north of Montgomery, we heard a noise up above, everybody looked up, and there was a plane, a big old, back in those days, it was a Ford tri-motor, had 3 engines, and it landed just outside of the town of Eclected in a big cotton field. And they found it had some engine trouble, and they worked on it for about a week there. But there was no airport around anywhere close for them to take off, so they took the plane and took the wings off of it and pulled it by a truck through town out to a road that had a small downhill elevation to it. And at that time, there wasn't a bunch of light poles and telephone poles around, so he had room down that road. And the one policeman they had in this big town was down there stopping traffic. And they pulled that plane out there, and I think the whole town of Eclected went out and watched this as that plane took off down that highway from Eclected, and on its way it went. And we heard no more from it.
Was it a military plane?
No. Yeah, I don't remember if it was a... It wasn't a commercial plane. It was just some company plane or something like that.
With you being in the Battle of Bulge and Army, with that being a famous battle of World War II, what was that like?
It was about as bad as the initial invasion at Utah Beach where we went in. The Germans were there with American tanks that they had captured. They were there in American uniforms.
What?
And you didn't know who to shoot at. And at the beginning, it was terrible. And they did push us back out of there to start with, and they took over there because we just didn't know who to shoot at. Cause they, like I say, they were dressed in American uniforms. They had picked out Germans that could speak English. What could you do? But later on, they sent us some more reinforcements and told us what was actually going on. And we would go ahead if we had an opportunity and capture these people, whether we thought they were Americans or not, and then we'd find out who they really were, you know. And that was a terrible experience in Battle of the Bulge. And at the time I left, I had only 6 men in my company that I had with me when we did the invasion in Normandy. Out of 220 men, I had 6 men left. All of them weren't killed, and we would get replacements in, but a lot of them went out with injuries of all sorts, and some would get sick, things like that, and they would send the replacements in. And when I left, we had about a full company, but that was a lot of men to lose. And to this day, I go back to reunions now, and I don't see anybody that I know that was in my outfit or anywhere close.